those who don't know me, my name's Daniel. I am a full-time missionary with YRAM in Harpenden, which means that I get the absolute privilege of just seeing exactly what the Lord is doing in the UK. I don't know if you guys have heard much about what he's doing in the UK at the minute, but like, I don't mind throwing around this word a lot, but like, revival is happening. Like, there's a move of God happening across the UK. Specifically, like, I'll just give you a story before we kind of like get into Ephesians, but specifically a couple of weeks ago, there was a prayer gathering at St. Church in London, and basically we had, for 12 hours, we had over 2,000 young people gathered from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. to pray for revival, to pray for the move of God in the UK and Ireland. And during that time, like, we got to witness people being filled with the Holy Spirit. We got to witness exactly what was in Acts, exactly the things that Luke spoke about in Acts, where people got filled with the Holy Spirit, where people got empowered, where people spoke in boldness, saw people getting healed, saw people getting set free from certain things. So I just want to encourage you guys, even from the get-go, that like, the church is so alive. The church is so alive, it's alive, it's moving, and so many people are coming to Jesus. So right now, I just want to just quickly just invite the Holy Spirit. So if we just spend some time just like, even for yourself, just ask the Holy Spirit, teach me in these next 25 minutes. Teach me and reveal yourself to me, give me a revelation. Similar to what you gave Paul and what you're speaking about in Ephesians. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place right now. I just want to, even as I was preparing for this message, I just felt just the weight of like how much love that the Lord has for you as a congregation, as a family. There were so many words that I specifically got about you guys specifically. One of them being that like, He just wants to release hunger over you. He wants to give you a realization that only He can satisfy. He wants you to return back to your first love, which is Christ. But also I felt specifically that there's some people here specifically who are longing to hear the voice of God for the first time, or longing to hear the voice of God. But like, I don't know how. Like, I don't know how. Like, I've been to church every single Sunday. I'm just like, God, I can't hear you. Where it's like, just listen. Sit with me. Spend time with me. So even as I'm speaking to Ephesians, whoever that is, if that is you in the room, ask the Lord to speak to me today. And I also felt there's someone here that's been believing in life in Yemi, because Yemi is deceitful. He likes to break with the church. He likes to basically go against your identity. And one of the things that I felt the evening kind of speak was that you're too far gone. And even in that, I just felt the Lord just say, you're not. Do not speak like that. Like, you're right where I want you. So, all that being said, let's get into Ephesians. Guys, I honestly, I think I've grown in love for Ephesians, even like in the past couple of weeks. One of the great things about Ephesians is that like Paul is writing from a perspective of him being in prison. He's writing from a perspective that he's suffering for Christ. But he's also writing from a perspective of urgency towards the church in Ephesus. Urgency for the church in Ephesus to understand that actually, like, you've missed it. You've missed who he is. And, like, trying to get them to understand the revelation of who Christ is. But he also writes, and I love it, that he writes from a very pastoral place. He writes from a place of lifting the church up, but also, as my friend read just now, like, he prays for them. He's always in a posture of worship, even when he's going through hardship. Even when he's literally being persecuted in a prison cell. Like, I don't know, like, obviously, never been to prison, thank God. But, like, I dread to think what the conditions would have been like that. And yet, he writes things like, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He's in a posture of worship. He writes because he's like, I want people to understand the work and power of the Holy Spirit. I want people to understand the revelation that Christ has shown me. In Ephesians, I'm just going to quickly read Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 14, just kind of give a bit of context. I know you guys have been going through Ephesians, but I can't preach Ephesians 3 without preaching Ephesians 1 and 2 first. So this is what, when we talk about the revelation that Paul is getting here, he's talking about this, which is why it's important to look at the context before anything else. It says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Let's just ponder that. Like, he chose you. That's incredible. That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, so in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood. So when we were taking communion just now, that's reminding us that we have redemption in him. Like, no matter what you've done in the past, but like I said before, like, you're not too far gone. Like, there's redemption in the cross, there's redemption in the blood of Jesus. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And I love this bit, because it says, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. And then it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. To him, and this is this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? It means that you're no longer walking in the opposite spirit. You're no longer walking in sin. You no longer have to walk in a place of, oh God, I did this. Oh God, you no longer need to play the blame game. Just like, okay, I recognize that I've just done something wrong. But I'm going to walk into this word because that's not who I am. Because the Bible says different. The promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, which is what Paul is trying to get the Ephesian church to understand. Until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. One of the the great privileges that we get as children of God is that we get to know Him. Like, we get to truly know Him. He's not a God that stays in His pages. He's not a God of the past. Like, Jesus isn't someone who is just of the past and, like, no longer here today, like, He's here right now. Jesus is alive, but He defeated death on the cross. He rose again, but He didn't just do that. He didn't just rise again. What we just read about the Holy Spirit is this. But the Holy Spirit is the seal of our inheritance. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. What did Christ do when He rose again? I'll get to Ephesians 3 in a minute, but this is important. What did Christ do when He rose again? Where did He put His hand? He put His hand on the mercy seat of Christ. The mercy seat is basically the place where you would put blood offerings, like sacrifices, for sins and to be like be set free, to be forgiven. And when Christ put His pure and spotless blood on the mercy seat, that set us free from our sin. That made us righteous, that made us clean. Back in the Old Testament, you see how the presence of God is in the Ark of the Covenant. And if people touched the Ark of the Covenant, what happened?
They died.
They died. Okay. So, if the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you, isn't the Holy Spirit the presence of God?
Yes.
So what does that mean? That means you are clean. That means that you are righteous. That means that you are holy. That means that you are set apart. But that's because Jesus put His hand on the mercy seat and interceded on our behalf so that we can receive the Holy Spirit. So that we can have a life in Him, so that whenever we feel like that we can't hear from God, actually, at plot twist, you can. And all He asks is to seek first the kingdom, to sit down and to sit with Him. Because He wants to listen to you. He wants to hear about you. Like, He wants you to speak to Him. Anyway, so when we talk about Ephesians 3, this is the revelation that we're talking about. And so much more. And then we quickly go, Ephesians 2, don't have to go to this, Ephesians 2, 13 says, just to kind of back up what I just said, says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's something to celebrate. That's not something to be passive about on a Sunday morning, to go through, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when actually, like, you're not sitting that from a place like, God, I want to come back to the heart of worship. So we need to understand who we are in Christ. Okay. In Acts 19, I find it so fascinating. So Acts 19 basically talks about Paul being in Ephesus. He was in Ephesus for 2 to 3 years, basically preaching this gospel. And I'm just like, how do they not understand the words that Paul is teaching? So in Acts 9, it says, Acts 19, there we go. La 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 la, I'm going to borrow myself. It talks about how, I'll read it. It says, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. Then he found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I said, no, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, and so what then were you baptized? They said, to John the Baptist. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And then later on, so like they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Okay? So they experienced who God is. But later on, it says, But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. So, even when they experienced the Holy Spirit, the power of God, they didn't want to walk in that. They still walked in the Spirit. So it's possible to experience who God is and still reject it. So this is what we're talking about when we go into Ephesians 3. Like, Paul is talking to the Ephesus church from a place of, guys, you have experienced who Jesus is. You have experienced the revelation that I have experienced for myself. And you have experienced the Holy Spirit. So why are you still walking in a way that isn't pleasing to him? In Ephesians 3, it talks about how of this gospel I was made a minister in verse 7. I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Guys, we don't deserve Jesus. We don't deserve the cross. That's the reality of it. When Paul's writing to the Ephesus church, he's writing from a place of like, guys, if anyone doesn't deserve the grace and the love of Jesus, it's me. Like, we all know the story of Paul. We all know what he did before he came to Christ. What he did before he had that Ephesus moment. He persecuted the church. He killed Christians. He killed people who wanted to follow the way. So he understood. He was just like, I'm the least of these, and yet God has called me. God has called me out. He has set me apart. So though the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Guys, I'm going to be so surreal. Like, if we don't pursue a relationship with God, and if we're looking for God, I want to be more bold. I want to step out in faith in all these different things. But like, if our heart isn't wholly on God, I want to seek you, then you've missed the point. You've missed the point. If you want to see miracles, if you want to see healings, way before you even see who he is, you've missed it. The more we seek him, the more we know him. And it's a testament in all of Paul's accounts, the more we seek him, the more we know him, the more we understand. The more we seek him, the more we know him, the more we become more like him. Right? The more we seek him, the more we know him, the more we walk in his love, the more we walk in his compassion, the more we walk in his joy. But also the more that we are able to see the one. I started this message by by talking about specifically the like everything that's going on in the UK at the minute. And that's because people are starting to see the one. That's because people are hungry for him. And guys, I know that there's a hunger and room for Christ. But I also know that the enemy is trying to tell you lies. And I'm here to try and debunk all of those lies. Because one of the things that I was kind of thinking and praying about specifically was that particularly for like the younger generation, speaking to like you guys now, specifically, like those who have walked with the Lord for many years, like we need you as mothers and fathers to walk alongside us, to show us the way, to show us who he is. We need to spur one another on. So when people are down, when people are when people are believing the things that the enemy is telling them, we need to come alongside them, call them high and say, that's not you. This is who you are. This is who you are in Christ. Right? Guys, I want to ask, because Paul's posture in writing Ephesians specifically was that he recognize that he is nothing without Christ. Mm-hmm. Have you had that revelation in yourself? Mm-hmm. I know this is like a really weighty thing to say, but like, we are nothing. We are but dust mm-hmm. without Christ. Mm-hmm. Even when in prison, Paul had a posture of intercession for a group that was stubborn. Christ didn't just die so that you can be reconciled and redeemed. He died so that you can walk in the fullness of him and with him. So I want to ask him just to run out of time. But I want to specifically ask you guys, what is your posture right now? What is your posture even to the Great Commission? Like Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. Jesus isn't just talking about to a specific group of people, he's talking to his friends, he's talking to his disciples. Are you his friend? Are you his disciple? So this is for you, to go out, to preach the gospel, to ask the Lord for a revelation of who he is, for a revelation of what he did on the cross, because when he went to the cross, he thought me. He thought that really annoying person that you're like, oh God, I can forgive all these people, but I can't forgive him. If he can call Paul to write all of these letters to the church and to build the church up to what it is now, you can forgive your friends that I took from you or said a bad thing to you. It's important that we don't just come on a Sunday and be like, okay, Lord, speak to me, and then go home. Go about it. We need to be walking in the light and the truth daily. Mm-hmm. Guys, there are so many people out there who need Jesus. There are so many people.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to quickly tell a testimony, but I hope will encourage you specifically when it comes to recognition. So, when I was training to be a missionary, like I walked a lot in fear when it came to talking to people I didn't know about the gospel. long story short, like, got free from that. And then that was a moment where we were on a beach, we were worshiping together as a class and as like a community. And that was this guy who was literally just sitting down on the beach, just kind of looking at us worship, I was crying. I went up to him, I was just like, hey, can I pray for you? He was like, you have no idea. He literally said that every single day he has been coming specifically to this beach to smoke, to like basically drink his words, everything like that. And it's just like, I've been asking the Lord for a sign. I've been asking the Lord to show himself to me for years. And then the one day that I come to this beach, you're here asking to pray for me. And the long story short is that he got reconciled with his dad. He got freed from alcohol the same night he gave his life to Christ. And he got baptized in the water. Because what's on the other side of your obedience and your yes sins? Because you never know. I'm assuming you've all heard of John Wesley, right? Yeah? Okay, I'm just going to read the next chapter from something that John Wesley says, because I just think it's fire. Of all I would wish to say this is the Son, my brethren, preach Christ, always and evermore. He is the whole gospel. His person, office, and work must be our great, comprehending thee. The world needs to be told of its Savior and of the way to reach him. Salvation is a theme of which I would fain enlist every holy tongue. I am greedy after witness for the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Oh, that Christ crucified were the universal burden of men of God. Let Christ crucified be the universal burden of our hearts. So I'm going to pray. And guys, let what I said actually like go away and think about it. Go away and shut the door. Spend time with the Lord, because he wants you to spend time with him. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you that you're in this room right now. God, we thank you for each and every single individual life. That you are calling back to yourself. Thank you for Christ and Christ crucified. Thank you for the work of the cross. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that even this week that you would speak to people. God, that you would give them dreams. God, that you would give them almost an assignment of the things that you want to go and do. But ultimately, that people would see you and see you rightly. That would be the prayer on every single person's mouth as they go away. In Jesus' name. Amen.